Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of learning how to pray with confidence. The Bible tells us that we're to pray without ceasing, we're to pray always, we're to persevere in prayer. But the Bible also says we're to pray with confidence. Hebrews 4:16 says we're to come boldly unto the throne of grace. Boldly means confidently, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Many of us struggle with coming to God confidently, so we're talking about why you can approach the throne of grace with the confidence that you will find the help you need in your time of trouble. Our key verse is 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 that tell us this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and if He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions we desire of Him. If you can learn to pray according to the will of God, in other words, ask for things that are in line with the will of God, God hears you, and His answer is yes. That does not mean pray and see what happens. And then if it happens, you know it's His will, and if it doesn't happen, you know it wasn't His will. That's how most of us pray, but that's not what that verse means. You're to find out God's will first and then pray in agreement with His will. You find out God's will from His Word. To pray the will of God means to pray the Word of God. One of the ways you pray the Word of God is by finding patterns of prayer in the Bible, patterns for effective prayer, and then you employ those same patterns. Last week we went into great detail talking about how one very effective, powerful pattern for prayer found in Scripture is praising God first. Praise God first before you present the problem to Him, and then you present the problem in the light of the fact that you have a prayer answering God, Almighty God, who's greater than any problem you're facing, who is also your Father. Now, this week, we're connecting effective prayer with thanking God. All prayer, all effective prayer involves faith. Faith is trust in God. To have faith, the kind of faith that can see prayers answered, you have to see God as He clearly is, as He truly is. You have to magnify Him before you pray. To magnify means to make bigger in your eyes. God can't get any bigger than He is, but He can get bigger in our eyes when we see Him clearly as He is from His Word. And one way we magnify God is by praising Him, by thanking Him, by expressing gratefulness to Him for who He is and what He has done, is doing, and will do. Now, we were saying yesterday that Jesus is our example of how we are to live and walk as sons of God. We are to learn to pray as Jesus prayed. He's our example in everything, including prayer. Jesus, as a man, magnified the Lord. Thankfulness or gratefulness to God was an element in Jesus' prayer life. And we were specifically looking yesterday at two examples from the ministry of Jesus where He multiplied fishes and loaves. We've got two different examples recorded for us in Scripture. One time He multiplied 7 loaves of bread and a few fishes, and another time He multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. But in both cases, before He prayed, He gave thanks to God. I'm in Matthew 15, verse 36. And He took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them, and gave to His disciples, and His disciples to the multitude. John chapter 6, verse 11 tells us that Jesus gave thanks for the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. He gave thanks or expressed gratefulness. Now, we said this had to have been more than a religious ritual, because first off, Jesus wasn't religious, and secondly, Jesus had to have real help in both instances. Remember, Jesus lived on earth as a man. He was fully God, become fully man without ceasing to be God, but He did not live as God. He lived as a man in dependence on the Father. He had to depend on the Father for help in these kinds of situations. See, He's facing a situation of big lack. He's got thousands of people there depending on Him for food, and He's a man who's got a few loaves of bread and a few fishes. See, what would you be like in that situation? Probably many of you have faced situations of lack. Well, Jesus, as a man, started his prayers to God, or in his prayers to God in a situation of lack, he expressed gratefulness. Now, why did he do that? I mean, what did he express gratefulness for? What did he thank God for? On what basis did he thank the Father? Well, let me give you some food for thought. First off, we know Jesus thanked the Father because the Father was always listening to him. Over in John, the 11th chapter, when Jesus stood before the tomb of Lazarus, he started that deal out with, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. I thank you that you hear me now. I'm saying this for the benefit of the people listening. Now, I'm not reading it word for word, but you can look at it. That's what it says. He thanked God. Why? Well, he's got to have help here. He's going to raise somebody from the dead. He couldn't raise a man from the dead any more than you and I can raise a man from the dead. As a man, he couldn't. Unless God, the power of God, flowed through him. Lazarus wasn't coming out. So the first thing he did was acknowledge God. See, that's a pattern for powerful prayer. When you're standing looking at the problem, you acknowledge God. And you acknowledge God by praising him and thanking him. Then secondly, Jesus no doubt thanked the Father for who he is and what he does. He's a good father who's better than the best earthly father, a father who cares for and meets the needs of his children. Jesus taught us that in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. God takes care of the birds and the flowers, and you matter more than a bird or a flower. Jesus said in Matthew 7, which one of you, if your kid asks for bread, are you going to give him a rock? If he asks for a fish, are you going to give him a snake? If you guys know how to give good things unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven? See, Jesus as a man had to relate to the Heavenly Father, his Heavenly Father, on that basis. A Father who cares for and meets the needs of his children. Jesus, no doubt, in the face of lack, said, thank you, Father, that you meet all my need according to your riches in glory. Thank you. That just as you care for the birds and the flowers, you'll care for me, because I matter more than a bird or a flower. See, we can't read this stuff religiously. We have to read it as it is written, and it's written to show us how sons of God relate to their Heavenly Father. Here's something else Jesus thanked the Father. He no doubt thanked the Father for his wonderful works recorded in Scripture. Remember, effective prayer acknowledges God, and effective prayer remembers the works of God as recorded in the Scripture. Jesus held the office of a prophet on earth. I mean, I could show you scriptures. I'm not going to read them in the interest of time, but remember in Deuteronomy chapter 18 verses 18 and 19, Moses said prophetically there was coming a prophet, that prophet who would deliver Israel. And when Jesus came to earth, the Jews were looking for that prophet. Remember, they went to John the Baptist first and said, are you that prophet, or shall we look for another? And John the Baptist said, no, I'm not that prophet. I'm here to announce the coming of that prophet. Jesus held the office of a prophet, and Jesus knew from the Scripture, from the written word, how God worked through his prophets. He knew that Elijah had multiplied flour and oil for the widow of Zarephath in the time of famine. Did you ever read that? 1 Kings chapter 17? I'm not going to read it. It's a lengthy story, but you know, Elijah, he came to this widow woman, and he said, make me a cake. And she said, I've only got a little flour and a little oil. I was going to make a cake for my son and me, and we were going to eat it, and then we were going to lay down and die of starvation, because that's it. We don't have any more food. Well, Elijah said, give me some first, and I tell you, you will not run out of food during this famine. So she did, and sure enough, her flour barrel and her oil cruse continually multiplied throughout the time of the famine. Jesus knew prophets are authorized to multiply food in the face of lack. Elisha multiplied food to feed 100 men. Remember that in 2 Kings chapter 4? This one is not as familiar, so maybe I'll read that. Verse 40, let me start in verse 42. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his server said, what should I set before this 100 men? And he said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. And he did set before them, and they did eat and left thereof, according to the word of the Lord. This is exactly like what happened in the fish and loaves story. There wasn't enough to feed them, but Elisha said, feed them, and everybody ate, and there was stuff left over. That's what happened in the fishes and the loaves. Well, Jesus was thoroughly schooled in the scriptures. He would have known that as a prophet, he had scriptural basis for thanking God for fishes and loaves being multiplied. Both Elijah and Elisha raised people from the dead by the power of God. Jesus knew that if God did it for them as prophets, he'd do it for him. See, Jesus is showing us a pattern for prayer. You thank God because he's your father and he's better than the best earthly father. You thank God that he always hears you. You thank God for his wonderful works in the scripture. He multiplied fishes and loaves. He raised people from the dead. You thank God because you know you're authorized to do the same. See, Jesus knew he was sent and authorized to set the captives free and to destroy the works of the devil. He knew that from Isaiah chapter 61. Death and lack are both works of the devil, and Jesus knew his father would keep his word to him when he prayed. He's praying according to the example in scripture. He's praying according to what he knows about the faithfulness of God in the scripture, and he thanked the Father for his faithfulness to him to keep his word to him. See, does that make sense? Jesus is a pattern for us about how to pray. God did not answer prayer for Jesus because Jesus was Jesus. God answered prayer for Jesus because Jesus was his son, and he was a son who delighted in doing the Father's will. If God answered Jesus' prayer because Jesus was Jesus, we have no ground to expect answers to our prayers. But Jesus taught us to go to our Father in prayer as he did, expecting his help and thanking him for it before we see it, just like Jesus did. Jesus thanked God for lack, in the face of lack, because he knew what lack would become in the hands of his Father. And see, in John 6, the other multiplying the fish and loaves story, we have a Holy Spirit-inspired comment on what happened when Jesus multiplied the fishes and the loaves. It's called the miracle of giving thanks. Thanking God brought real help in time of need. That sounds a lot like Judah rejoicing over their enemies in 2 Chronicles. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy. Let's face it, everyone is busy these days, and when it comes to God's Word, there's a lot to learn. Diane can help you maximize your study time. For starters, you can order this week's lesson on tape or CD, or join Diane every Friday night for a live, in-depth teaching right here in St. Louis, Missouri, with worship provided by Mercy's Child. We meet at 7:30 p.m. each Friday at 4720 Jameson, right in the heart of beautiful St. Louis Hills. You'll be in the company of believers with like faith and passions. And we hope to see you this Friday. You can become a group leader and use Riches in Christ Bible study material. We will provide lessons on tape or CD with a study guide for everyone in your group. Call us for details. Send this teaching forth by partnering with us. Monthly partners help pay for radio time and receive our best teaching. Diane provides a website with MP3 audio, downloadable study guides, and much more. Visit www.richesinchrist.com. For more information, call us toll-free at 1-888-739-6619. That's toll-free 1-888-739-6619.